worshiping God. And I want to use Psalms 27. If you have your Bible with you, Psalm 27, verse. It's good to read the Bible this morning. Amen? Not only this morning, but every day of our life. It's great to read the Word of God. Psalm 27, are you all there already? And I'm just going to read verses 1, Psalms 27, 1 to 4. Okay, this is the Psalm of David. And it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, wow, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arises against me, yet I will be confident." And this is the verse that we wanna look up this morning, verse 4. "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we come to You this morning, and as we submit ourselves to You, Father, we pray that You will send Your Holy Spirit to guide us and to teach us, Lord, the things that You want us to do, Lord, that will bring glory to Your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank You and we praise You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You know, there's a story about this little boy. And his parents is watching him in the window of the kitchen. And this 9-year-old boy, he play baseball by himself. And do you know how to play baseball by yourself? That means you have to toss the ball and you hit it. So before he tossed the ball, he said, "You know, I'm a great baseball hitter." So he tossed the ball and he swing it and he missed it. But since he is by himself, he is the judge too. He said, "Strike one." Okay. And then he went back again. He tossed the ball and he swung it hard. He missed it again. Strike two. And then he looked at the ball and the baseball. Look at it, man. So since he said that he's a big hitter, he threw the ball up, and then he swing as very hard as he can, and he missed it. And then he said, "You're strike out." Since he suggested he was strike out, so he went inside and told his parents, "You know what, Mom? I strike out the number one hitter of the baseball." He himself. So, you know, life is, they say that, I think it's that Chuck Swindoll said that life 10% happened to you, and then 90% it's how you respond to life. So life, it could be a good or bad. Marriage could be good or could be bad too. It's depending on your attitude in life. Right? It's your attitude in life. And I went to Miriam last night, and attitude, there's an adjustment. Attitude is to something. Sometimes you have to adjust our attitude. And attitude is our first thing. Attitude is, there's four attitude of worship. Attitude is a state of mind or feeling with regard to some matter. And sometimes it's a disposition. So it's an attitude, it's a state of mind. And depending on your mindset. And sometimes marriage, especially marriage, you know, it's if some people could not handle marriage, some people committed suicide because their partner left them, but some people, they have that desire, that attitude to keep on going and never give up. And it's almost all about our life. And it's how we handle, how we perceive. And I went to Abundant Living yesterday. Oh, no. Friday. I got invited by one of the students there. And they want me to represent them as their grandpa. It's a grandparents' day last Friday. So Liberty invited me. I said, but I'm not your grandpa. But you can assume. So I went there. Man, that place is huge. They have, you know, 600 students. And Liberty, second grader, they sing. And man, there's so many grandparents last Friday. And they in their building, you get into the main entrance. After the name up there is a question. It says, where are you spending eternity? That's a bold question. Where are you spending eternity? And a lot of us, their eternity is just right here. Their mindset is that there's no eternity. They just live to die. And their eternity is here. So it's your mindset. Where is your mindset? And that's very important in our life, and especially life here. And this morning, we're gonna be looking the Psalms 27 and verse 4. And I want us to just digest that Psalms 27 verse 4, and let's see what. How did David respond to that? When David, he is a commander of the armies of Israel. And David is a king. At this time, the relationship with Saul is over. And here he is the king of Israel. He's a leader of their armies. And then he is preaching the word of God in the Israelite community. And so how does he respond to that kind of a pressure that most of us are capable of bearing? So there are moments that David has to go through, and so we're going to break down how does David say about the important or the pursuit of his relationship with God. Because our text this morning is that one thing he said, one thing I asked of the Lord. This is one thing that he asked of the Lord. This is what I seek. He says that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. So I want you to picture how David pictured the Lord. You see, the beauty of the Lord is that's my one thing that I desire in my life, is the beauty that I behold the beauty of the Lord in his temple. So I wonder if David is capable of seeing or perceiving or gazing the beauty of the Lord, and that's one thing that he desires in his life, is to be with the Lord. Amen? So one thing that David has in mind is that he disciplined to worship. He disciplined to worship. And the four things that the attitude of worship is that David is disciplined to worship the Lord. In Psalms 27, verse 4, the first part of verse 4, it says, "One thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after." See, there's David says, "You know, one thing that I asked the Lord, that's my desire to pursue." So the discipline of worship, and to be a person of the person who is a true worshiper of the Lord Jesus Christ, require a substantial commitment, a substantial commitment of personal discipline. Amen? So you need to have that. We need to have that, a discipline of our worship. So we live in a day that we are now is that there's so much competition. God has so much competition, because to worship God, you need to have a discipline that God and God alone. Amen? And remember what R.C. Sproul. R.C. Sproul is a theologian. He wrote about a lot of books. And this is what he said. I mentioned that last time. It is imperative that Christians, at the beginning of his pursuit to understand what true worship is, it is clear that the object of our worship is to God and God alone. See, to discipline ourship and to worship, that means our worship is only to God and God alone, and nothing else. But we live in an era, in a generation that there's so much competition. Amen? And just like right now, the football, that's number one competition. Bless you. That's one competition that Christians are having, especially on Sunday. There's so many fans of football game that even right now they're there. They are Christians. But then they'd rather go to the football. And how many of you have attended a football game or a basketball game? How about baseball? Baseball. I once attended a Dodgers game Angels, I think, or Dodgers. I don't know. But do you know when you attend when you watch the baseball in that arena, do you know what they do? You say, "Whoo!" And then they have a wave. Yeah. And the whole stadium is doing a wave. But they don't realize that they're worshiping the game. They say, it's fun, you see. But they're more than Buddha, or, you know, they're doing like that. Huh? Have you seen that? That's the competition that we have. But the Bible says that, you know what, we only have to worship one and one alone, and it's God. Amen? And the first one is the discipline of worship. We need to have a single-minded pursuit in what made such an effective leader. So, do you remember the run-in of David against Goliath? Remember Goliath? And Goliath, in 1 Samuel 17, while all the other soldiers and his brothers could not see their situation from a human perspective, and then because of that, they see their mind, their mind is set up that they could not handle Goliath, because they see themselves in a human perspective. There's no way that they can defeat Goliath, right? Even his brothers, they see that you go against that giant with your string and your stones. But they see They see David in a human perspective. They see their situation in a human perspective. But David doesn't see that. And then he was even mad that Goliath will come after. He's not coming after David. He's coming after David's God. And that's why he was determined. He was determined. He has that attitude that he is able to defeat Goliath. And that's in 1 Samuel. I'm just going to read it to you. 1 Samuel, verse 17, 45 to 47. It says, "The Philistine said to David, 'Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field.' Then David said to Philistine, 'You come to me with the sword and with the spear and with javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts.'" See, imagine that. How David could discipline himself. He adjusts his attitude to see that God is the one that is coming after the children of Israel. He says, "Come to me. You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give you the dead bodies to the host of the Philistine this day, to the bird of the air and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is God in Israel, and that all of this assembly may know that the Lord saved, not with the sword and spear." And then it is the most important thing that we need to engrave this in our heart, that the battle is the Lord. And He will give you into our hand. See? And sometimes we battle too much, we exercise physically. But you know what? If you are a Christian, if you believe Jesus Christ had poured out His life in the Calvary, it is not you that's fighting the enemy. It is God. Amen? That's something that we need. We need to discipline ourselves. Amen? Goliath could have ridiculed the armies of Israel, but David himself, but nothing drew the young man's anger and fury like the unwillingness of the Philistine to respect and honor his God. Amen? We could say that David was obsessed with worship. So, how important is it that we as a church maintain this kind of discipline? We must be careful not to lose our perspective in worshiping God. Amen? Because we live in an era wherein that evangelicalism has become. See, the first thing that they will ask you, how many are in the church? See? Because that's how the measure of the growth of the church is by the number of people sitting in the chair. But you know what? Our mission is for you and me, that we may grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That we may continue to worship Him, not only here in this four corner, but as soon as we get out from that door, our worship start. Amen? Our worship to the Lord start once we get out from that door. I'm really convinced that Brother Ray were walking, and I went walking yesterday, and this Korean, is that Korean? Koreans? Man, they are bold. They give me a man, that money. They give me 3 million this morning. And they said, "Oh, they give you one too? 1 trillion. 1 trillion. I don't know if this is ours or is it the death of America. but you know what? They are really bold and do you know what they said, Brother Ray? Jesus Christ loves you. See? Jesus Christ loves you. And then after a few steps, we met a Vietnamese. I was looking for some kind of an opening, but he said, well, I said, go fishing. He go fishing, huh? And some of them, you go there early, but they go fishing. I said, boy, that fishing, that's I don't have the patience to stay there and look for fish. But, you know, they are, those Korean women are really bold and they discipline themselves to go and give everybody this 1 trillion to anybody that they meet. Amen? So it's the mindset that they have, the attitude that we have, attitude of worship, that it's something that each one of us could handle. It's doable. It's not that it's only those few, it's only the pastor could do it, but it's everyone could handle or can do by disciplining our mind, our attitude toward worship with God. Amen? So not only that we discipline the discipline of worship, but also there's the destination of worship. See, one thing I ask, he said, this is what I seek. But then he says, the destination of worship, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Can you picture that? That the desire of David is one thing and one thing alone, is that he may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And David, he was not referring about the tabernacle of Solomon. Because remember, David was not allowed to make a tabernacle for God, because his desire is to make a tabernacle for God. But because of, I don't know, the main reason, some other theologians, because of so much blood in his hand, he was not able to build a tabernacle for God, but his son Solomon was able to was allowed to make a tabernacle. But David, he was not referring about the tabernacle of his son that was made. He was referring the tabernacle in this aspect, in this psalm, the tabernacle is the local church. That he may dwell in the presence, in the house of the Lord forever. And in Psalms 23, verse 6, David was speaking here, the ongoing and intimate relationship with God and to live in the presence of God. See that's really his desire, is to live in the presence of God. Amen? Because where the presence is, that's where he is. Amen. So wherever you are, if you love God and you worship God, that's his presence. Because the glory of the Lord is upon his people. Amen. The destination of worship is in the presence, in the local church. It's not the tabernacle full of gold and silver that Solomon did. The tabernacle that David is referring is the church, the local church. Amen? So there is the object of worship. The very first commandment given to Israel was to what? What's the first commandment that God given to Israel? Is to have no other gods before me. Amen? And he alone, and to be one that they should worship. God is clear on this. Whatever we do, it is done to his glory. Amen? Let's look up Corinthians chapter 10. I didn't put it there, but it's good to look it up. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. 10:31. You're there? Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Are you there? It says, Paul says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Everything that we do, do it all for the glory of God. It's to do it for His glory. Amen? See, the object of our worship is God and God alone. Amen? He is so central to our existence that most routine things can be or should be to His glory. And number two is the motivation of worship. What is our motivation of worship? The Lord did not receive Cain's sacrifice because it was not right. Right? So the verb means to please God. It was not to the sacrifice itself, but was the wrong. It's wrong, for the grain offering were offered to God in other places in the scripture with God result, with good result. It was a matter of the heart of Cain, and that Cain was not right with God. Amen. So the third attitude of worship is the duration of worship. And in Psalms 27 verse 4, the second part, it says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord what? Forever, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. See, the duration of worship is that all the days of my life. He's going to be there all the days of His life. And he doesn't have any intention of leaving the church or going somewhere else. But it's all the days of my life. And we, in Psalms 34 verses 1 and 3, you don't have to look it up there, but it says, David provides for us a model on what he looks like. He says, we worship God willingly. I will bless the Lord at all times. Worship is a free will offering to God. Remember that the last study that we have, that worship is giving. And it's giving freely to God without any hesitation or hindrance or commitment or something that I worship God because I want His blessing. It's not that kind of blessing that David is looking for. It's a worship that is God, worship God willingly. And then also we worship God continually. I will bless the Lord at all times. I'm talking about in Psalms 34. There is never an inappropriate time of worship. Also, in Psalms 34, verse 1, it says, we worship God personally. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. And then number 4 is that we worship God corporately to magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt the name together. So when we worship, when we come to church, that's why it's important to come to church as a church, because that's part of our worship, is to come to Him continually and corporately. Remember our study? Corporate the worship. Amen? So the duration of worship is all the days of my life. And then last one is the desire of worship. It says in our text, Psalms 27 verse 4b, is to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and seek Him in His temple. David has two desires of worship: to see something and to seek something. See? To see the beauty of the Lord, that the Hebrew word for that to be behold the beauty of the Lord is saying, expressing this absolute delight which gazing continually of God's glory and to bring us It is beyond words and must be experienced to be understood. That's why our desire when we come to worship God corporately, that we may experience the presence of God. Amen? One of our study is that revelation is so important. Because if we come here and we don't expect God revealed to us, our worship, our service, it's nothing but it's just a dead worship. That's why our desire, not only we sing song, but also that God's revelation will be upon our life. Amen? That's very important. Because revelation is, without revelation, nothing. It's just like, it's like a come and go, and there is no change in our life. Amen? That's why revelation is very important. In one of our study, we talk about revelation. The revelation of God in worship. So there is that desire. There is that desire. There are two desires in worship: to see something and to seek something. See the beauty of the Lord and then to seek Him in His temple. The idea is to actively and passionately pursue God that we might know Him better. Because relationship has to grow. And it should grow. Not only we'll be stagnating our relationship, but there is our relationship be grow and grow and grow. Amen? See, like Sister Rose, you know, before I got married, I like her. But now as we go older, my love is getting stronger and whatever you express that. But I love her when we met first time. But now I even love her more. Because that love grow. Amen? Amen? Oh, nobody said amen? And the same thing with your spouse, with your children. Amen? Like Nai? Yes, eh? So there is that growing stage of our relationship. Is our relationship with God grows too? We should grow. Amen. Because you know what? You cannot worship somebody, or you cannot love somebody if you don't know Him, right? Same thing with God. You cannot love God and worship Him. It's impossible. Because if you don't know Him, how can you worship Him? Because you should know God before you can worship Him. It's impossible, right? It's impossible to worship God that you don't know. Amen? And that's the difference between the people that's in the high or in the place where there is no church, there is no declaration of salvation. People are just love to worship, but they don't know who are they worshiping. Amen? So that's why we need to know God. Amen? It's just like what David said in Psalms 42. It says, as the deer pants for the stream of water, so my soul pants you, O God. So that's the kind of attitude that David has. You know, that is just like a water that the deer panted for the water. Amen? So in closing, I just wanna share with you about these two desires that we could see the beauty and increasingly seek Him out. As means as a deep, profound gratification that the things of the world could not understand. There is this story about Sahara is not there, the new lady. But there's a story about the book entitled Sahara Unveiled, about these two guys Algerian guys that went to travel the desert, Sahara Desert. I don't know if you know how big is the Sahara Desert, that if you make a wrong turn, you're dead, because you will lost in that vast desert. But these two guys went to Sahara to deliver something that their car broke down in the middle of the desert, that they nearly died during the 3 weeks as they be waiting for a rescue. And their bodies became dehydrated. They found that they were willing to drink anything in the hopes of quenching their terrible thirst. The sun forced them under the truck into a shade where they dug shallow trench. Day after day, they lay there in the place where they dug, where they can make their body moist. See, dehydration, not starvation, kills wanderers in the desert. But how did they manage to survive? They drank rusty radiator water, which is in effect is poisonous. That makes a man drink water mixed with antifreeze and residue from the engine. But the answer is simple. The overwhelming desire to live. That makes them drink the water and radiator with antifreeze. What drives Christians to seek God in His temple and to see His beauty? The answer is just simple. The unquenchable desire to dwell and to know God and to see Him in all His glory. That's the desire of Christians. If those two guys is to desire to live, our desire to know God is the number one and a number one desire that each one of us as a Christian should have. Amen? So, this morning, we will stand. Amen? And those are the four things that the attitude of our mind towards worship and how important it is in the life of a Christian. Because if we don't have that desire in our life, chances are we're going to die spiritually. Amen. Shall we all stand? You want to see the beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ? It's in His church. The beauty. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, Paul said, "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into the image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." Where does the glory of God contemplate? It is in His church. If you want to see the glory of God, just look around you. Those are the glory of God. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the glory of God is here this morning. Are being transformed from one glory to another glory. Amen? The glory of God, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit, the increasing glory. Amen? And sometimes we see, where is the glory of God? Here we are, the church. The glory of God is full in this church. Amen? Shall we pray? Father, we thank You this morning. Thank You for Your word. And thank You, Lord, for the life of David as he demonstrated, Lord, how he adjust his attitude on worship in knowing you, that he has one thing that he desires, and that's one thing that he seeks, Lord, is you, to dwell in your glory, in your presence, Father God. Because in your presence, Lord, there's so much joy, and unquenchable, or there's the water, Lord, that quenches the thirst of those who seek him, Lord. And Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for everyone, Lord, that stand before you, Lord God. And we pray for your Holy Spirit, that the glory, not only in these four corners of this place, Lord, but it's going to be going out, Lord, and touch other people's lives. And Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you this morning for your word, Lord God, this morning. And Father, we pray that we may take this out from the time we get out from that door, Lord Jesus, that we may see the beauty of the Lord. And Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for everyone. And thank you, Lord, and us even to worship you with our tithes and offering. Father, we thank you, God, for blessing us, Lord, with your word this morning. Anything, Lord, that's not from you, Father, we pray that you will take it out, Lord. Just let those words that comes from you germinate into our heart, Lord God. And Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that's being infused in each one of our lives today. That as we walk, Father, we pray for the Holy Spirit to direct us, Lord, and guide us, Lord, that everything that we do is for your glory and for your honor. And we thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, Amen.